Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Sheehan is back tomorrow. You will also hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn tomorrow. I'd mistakenly said Josh Harris. It is not Josh Harris. It'll be Adam Peters and Dan Quinn tomorrow. We will carry that press conference here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. It's been a very busy day. Ben Standing joins us now at noon, as he does each and every Monday and Friday. You can find his podcast, the Last Man Standing podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast, and follow him on Twitter at Ben Standig. All right, Ben, what do you want to talk about? Training camp battles? Is that what's the top on everyone's mind today?
Look, I'm a 53 player projection kind of a guy, so I'll stay with wondering if Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes can make this roster, but I suspect there may be other topics to get into.
Yeah, there might be at least one or two other big ones. We'll start with the one that is a little bit more of a nuisance than it is football-related. Your thoughts on Donald Trump seemingly suggesting that he would block the hope of the stadium coming back to D.C. unless the team changes its name back?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've mentioned this before on my podcast that, like, until this gets done, you always have to worry that, you know, that the president could weigh in. I wouldn't necessarily say this about other presidents, but this one is, you know, willing to interject himself into a myriad of topics that you wouldn't think would be the case. And look, this one is, you know, literally down the street. He was asked, you know, he's been asked about the team name several times. He actually gave a pretty benign answer, I thought, like a week or so ago when he was asked about it. And he was like, I might have kept it, but, you know, I get it. And, you know, if I can help, let me know. And, you know, there's obviously always stuff going on in the news. There's a lot of talk this week about some things involving the president. So is this him venting? Is this him really caring about this? I don't know. He didn't say he would. He said he might. But it's the president. He has, you know, he can cause problems. He can scuttle this whole thing with an executive order or, you know, lean on others. So it's something to consider. Now, that said, just based on my own kind of thinking and some, you know, talking to some people and just getting quick sense, I don't really think this is that big of a deal. I think it all, you know, it's still, I think, just a matter of, you know, the D.C. City Council passing a budget here at some point and moving on. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is when the president speaks, you have to listen.
Yes, it definitely adds another layer to this whole conversation that I did not think was previously existing. Do you think that he actually is going to follow through with any of this stuff?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, again, you would think that there's bigger topics on his plate than this, but look, again, I don't want to get like overly political, but, like, you know, you can use this topic as something that appeals to your base or to rile up the other side or whatever. And, you know, if that's what he's doing, so be it. Unfortunately, we're the ones, you know, who have to somewhat deal with it. I mean, more so, of course, you know, potentially the team and the city. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it just doesn't seem like it's important. Oh, look, the team name, I'm not dismissing that it's not important to many people. We obviously know about that. We've had countless conversations over the last few years about this. As somebody who grew up here as a fan of the team, I am well aware of the importance. I hear from friends and family all the time. I wish they'd go back to the name, but, you know, Josh Harris has been pretty clear about this. They're not going to do that. You know, it was corporate sponsors that really kind of pushed this over the top 4 or 5 years ago when they changed the name. I don't see that that's going to be anything different if they were to do it. So I think it's a no-brainer, but like I said, you never know with the president.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Will Terry be in Ashburn tomorrow?
Well, boy, it's almost easier to answer the last question. I don't know. You know, I don't have knowledge of Terry's travel plans, if he's intending to hold in, thus avoiding fines that can't be rescinded, but at the same time not practicing, you know, then yeah, him arriving tomorrow would make a lot of sense. And oddly, if that does happen, I think that's a relatively good sign for this thing ultimately getting done at some point, because it suggests that they think it's a deal will get done. And that's been my stance this whole time. Obviously, Terry was pretty forceful with his comments the other day about feeling, some level of disrespect by this thing taking as long as it is, by, you know, whatever the initial salvo from the team was in terms of the discussion was not up to his standard and his agents. So there's something going on here. But like I said, we see these contract debates happen all the time. Eventually they get solved, unless it's just absolutely, ties have been broken between two sides. I just don't see that here yet. I do think there's, there could be a point where it gets too long and it hurts the team, but I don't think we're there yet. So I don't know if he gets the deal done by tomorrow or this week, or if he shows up, but I'm maintaining I'm not going to panic for now until there's really reason to.
So that meter, that panic meter, hasn't moved at all for you?
It hasn't. I mean, we haven't heard from the team. Look, if Adam Peters and Dan Quinn come out tomorrow and say, hey, we've talked to Terry, we've made the offer, it's up to them to decide what to do, well, okay, then maybe we have see. But, I've talked about this before with Kevin. I think what's interesting about this, if you can separate the Terry aspect to a degree, is that we get a chance to see how Adam Peters and this front office and this organization is going to handle these situations. You know, if they keep having success, these conversations will continue in the future. An eventual contract extension for Jaden Daniels seems like it would be fairly cut and dry, based on how things look today. But, there will be other players down the line who say, hey, it's my turn to get paid. And how does that play out? So I think it's interesting from that perspective. And that's why I think tomorrow's press conference, which usually is not going to get a lot of sound bites out of Peters and Quinn, I think is a little more interesting, because Peters is going to say something. What that something is, potentially we'll say a lot about the process. And look, by the time we talk tomorrow, he might be saying we're thrilled that we agreed to a 3-year, $90 million contract with Terry McLaurin, and we're excited to be here. So, these things can move quickly, but, my panic meter has not moved yet. I will just say that, I talked to Adam Schefter the other day. I'm going to put up my podcast today, and, obviously, he's gone through, he's seen many of these things, and he was, you can listen to him talk about it, but I don't think he was particularly worried either at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's been a whole lot of worry. I haven't seen anyone reputable suggest that there should be cause of concern of this not getting done. It just feels like it, at least for most of the national guys, and I encourage everybody to listen to your conversation with Adam Schefter on your podcast, Last Man Standing, but it feels like it's just more of a, it just needs to get done kind of a deal.
Yeah. I'm not dismissing Terry's feelings for him to come out and be as forceful as he was the other day about it and talk as long as he did. It says something. He had something on his mind. A lot of players would just let their agents do their thing and stay out of it, but he felt compelled to speak up, and I think we can all understand why, considering what he has meant to this organization. I think what's so interesting is, in Adam we trust is something I think a lot of Commanders fans have been saying now for a while, and, after the last year, good justification. Putting Jaden Daniels aside, I think the only time that in Adam we trust could face conflict is a contract dispute with Terry McLaurin, right? That's the one guy, because he's been here. He's been, essentially the face of this thing for a few years, or, the one shining light who's done seemingly all the right things, and now this is the guy you're potentially, holding up to get a deal done. That is the one thing I do wonder about, that things could go sideways. Almost any other player on this team, again, not Kenny Daniels, I don't think too many people are siding with the player, even if the player is justified in asking for what they're asking. This guy is another story. So I think that's why this is going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of days.
So as you mentioned, you are a fiend when it comes to the 53-man projections. So if we put the Terry thing aside, if we put the stadium name situation aside, what's the biggest story that you have your eye on as we approach the opening day of training camp?
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yeah, well, look, obviously Von Miller is, he's here. He's going to, he'll be in camp tomorrow. He may be, in fact, in the building today signing a contract. You might get some news in the next little bit here about that. But not so much that he's going to come in and transform the line, but now it's just another piece. How are they going to play all these guys, We've talked, we all said they've got to get more help on the edge. Cool. But, how does that work with some of the other pieces, the rotation? We talked a lot about, is Javon Kinlaw going to be playing some on the edge, especially in obvious run situations? Okay, maybe. But then if that's happening, then what does that mean for the defensive ends? Even if Kinlaw in general, if he's playing a lot, what does that mean for Johnny Newton? Or does Johnny Newton come out and look all kinds of dynamic, because last year he was dealing with the foot surgeries and missed pretty much the whole offseason? Is he flying around now in ways we didn't maybe see as much last year? He was solid, but not spectacular too often. I think all the things on the line, I think, are so fascinating, because as we know, the biggest Achilles heel for this team last year, certainly against the Eagles, was stopping the run. That's not solely on the line, but it starts there. So solving that goes a long way towards helping this team. So I think that's one. But look, how does Deebo Samuel look? Laramie Tunsil, is he all starting in practice? Trey Amos, does he continue? Seem like some good positive momentum over the over during minicamp and OTAs. Is that, does he lock up a starting spot, or is there some questions there? Josh Connerly, of course, on the line as well. So lots of things to keep an eye on, but I think the defensive line is going to be a really interesting one.
Is the expectation, you mentioned Laramie Tunsil, is the expectation going to be that he is all systems go once training camp starts? I know he had the brakes on a little bit during minicamp.
I mean, I would think so. Now, as we know, using players in training camp, it's not like the old days. You're not grinding out two-a-days and all that. A guy like Tunsil, who's been there, done that, guy over 30, you do want to be judicious with how often you're using him. But, you got to get used to it. He basically wasn't out there for too much of anything during the off-season program. So he's got to get out there just to be comfortable. And look, if it's Brandon Coleman at left guard, you got to help this kid get comfortable, the position he's not played before in the pros. And if it's Nick Allegretti, you just got to, build that chemistry up with a new teammate, and not to mention, just Jaden Daniels and everything else. So I would imagine he'll be out there plenty. If he misses time, it's hopefully just because it's like a vet resting, the way they would probably do with some other guys versus any real problem. So I don't anticipate any problems, but we'll see how they use him.
What is a fair expectation for Brian Robinson as we sit here on July 21st?
In terms of like the regular season or just...
The regular season, but kind of just throughout this camp process as well. My thought is that he is definitively running back number one and he will be that, but is there any potential chance that somebody else takes that from him?
Yeah, I think the only potential chance, and this is a very odd one, is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the seventh round pick, the last running back pick in the draft. That is, everything I just said does not scream of somebody you should be talking about as RB1, and I'm not truly saying that. But he does bring the sort of one-cut explosive element to the backfield that they otherwise do not have. And Brian Robinson was a very effective in short yardage and goal line and all that kind of stuff. But, doesn't give you explosive plays, not much of a factor in the passing game, not the best blocker out there. You're not going to use Austin Ekeler more than what you did last year, especially coming off the concussions. Jeremy McNichols was perfectly fine. in his role as fill-in stopgap type, but you're not going to expand him. So the only person that I could see getting there would be Kroski Merritt. I guess you could tell me there's a world where it's Chris Rodriguez, but we've already seen him now a couple of years, so you know I can't go there right now. But that would be my only thought, is if the kid looks good off the jump and they just think, hey, he's ready to go, we could, as a running back, that happens sometimes in the NFL, those guys come in and it can go. But other than that, yeah, I think Robinson would be the clear RB1, and now I think it's just a matter of, you know, can they find more ways to integrate him? Can he show that he's developed in some of these other areas where he was deficient previously and do more for this team? That's going to be a question that needs to be resolved.
Ben Standig is with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, with Dende sitting in for Kevin on the team 980. Does adding Von Miller allow them to be a little bit more flexible with how they use Frankie Luvu this year?
I don't know. I don't know that it changes much. I mean, like, you know, I think however they want to use Frankie Luvu, they're going to just do that. You know, he's, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily a chess piece, but I think he's got to be, you know, sort of first and foremost with, okay, what do we want to do with Frankie here? And then let's move people around him. But obviously, if you can get Von Miller, who was, you know, one of the more efficient pass rushers in the league last year in terms of sacks per pass rush attempt, you know, if that guy is still going, then that's somebody the defenses are going to have to pay attention to. And, you know, if you have Luvu, whether it's on the other end or alongside, you know, that's going to cause defenses to have to think twice. And, you know, Dorrance Armstrong, he didn't have sort of a, you know, dynamic regular season, but he had 3.5 sacks in the playoffs. And if that version, you know, can stick around, you know, now you've got three guys teams would have to consider, and that's not even factoring in, are we getting 2022 Daron Payne, et cetera. So I think, they don't have a totally stud, dominant defensive line or front seven player, but they've got guys who are good, can make plays, and, you know, they need more of that, obviously. So I don't know that it changes Luvu's role, but I think it gives them potential to have just more dynamic pieces on the line going after the quarterback.
Ben, I will get you out of here on this. It feels like every year that there is one big name that gets, or maybe a couple of big names that get cut in training camp. I don't know that Washington has had one of those names in quite some time. Do you think that there is anyone who could be a training camp casualty that would shock fans?
Well, I mean, you know, last year, Jahan Dotson got traded, which, you know, I don't think we all saw, say, at this point of the offseason. You know, Brian Robinson's been the name that I've mentioned before, but I think he probably, you know, showed up and did some good stuff in the OTAs to probably put that thought on the back burner. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, I jokingly mentioned the Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes. I don't think anybody's going to go crazy if they don't make the team, even though both were, you know, effective roster guys last year. You know, Michael Gallup, I don't think he's a lock to make the team, but again, you know, low-cost free agent. He's a name people have heard of, but not that big of a deal. So I don't know if there's anybody that, like, I think would be a huge shock, but, you know, this is what happens. We get in here, we start to see a few things, and you get a sense from what we can see and what Dan Quinn will say as to maybe there is something to consider. Like the Dotson thing was something I was looking at a few days before the trade happened, because of the way it was being discussed, that it seemed like something was going to give. But at the moment, which is kind of a bummer, because you'd like to have something to sort of wonder about, but everything seems, you know, I feel like I could almost do my 53 right now, and other than maybe guessing like a couple of the backups on the line, I feel like I have a pretty good handle right now.
Ben, enjoy tomorrow. I'm sure that press conference is going to be very, very newsworthy.
Yeah. I don't know what they'll say, but with some of these topics, even if they don't say much, they will say a lot.
That is Ben Standig of the Last Man Standing podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Ben Standig. We mentioned that press conference. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are going to be live from Ashburn tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. You'll hear that right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Kevin will be back tomorrow, so he will get you set up for that press availability. I am optimistic that a Terry McLaurin done could a Terry McLaurin deal rather could get done between now and then. I will explain that optimism and why it is related to that of Trey Hendrickson. We do that on the other side. It's Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980.